Welcome to Couples Becoming Intentional. I'm Carrie.
I am John.
And here at Couples Becoming Intentional, we want to equip you with different tools and resources so that you can live intentional lives with those that you love to leave a legacy that lasts. Welcome or welcome back to Couples Becoming Intentional. If this is your first episode, welcome. I'm Carrie.
I'm John.
And we are married. We've been married for almost 8 years and we have two kids, 5 and 3. And we started this podcast to be able to talk about relationships, how you can be intentional with them, friendships or your spouse relationship, anything like that. So if you're just finding this podcast, go back and listen to some of our episodes, over 80 episodes that you can go back and binge and listen to. And we are grateful that you're here. Today, we are continuing in on a series about cultivating connection. This is part four.
Part four
for this. And John's going to kick us off and tell us what this one is all about.
I almost skipped part five.
Oh, man. We're all over the place today.
This is definitely not an article written by Christians or people of the faith. And so they went with acceptance. And so when you see someone who, as they truly are, faults and flaws as well as the good stuff, reminds you of the common humanity that bonds you. There's a typo and it really tripped me up. It says, reminds you of the common humanity and bonds you? Or is that a typo? I don't know.
Anyway,
maybe I read it wrong. Anyways, acceptance allows you to stay really present, but not needing to change someone now or in the future.
Okay, so we kind of see this as twofold, as like followers of Jesus.
Right. I think acceptance is a good thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it quite gets to the great thing that Jesus lays out for us.
Right. Like Jesus calls us to something better and something higher.
Which is?
Following him.
Just loving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the whole scripture can be summed up in these two commands, love God and love others. Mm-hmm. I think right when I say that, it reminds us of our like church motto of like, that's our goal at our church is to learn how to love God, learn how to love others. Mm-hmm. And loving others is supplying for needs, not just spiritual needs of like, I think a lot of people are like, well, we just need to, the greatest good we could ever do is to share Jesus. Yeah, that is great. But if people are still like, don't know when their next meal is, it's hard to believe, to have faith in Jesus and wants the best like in life for you. And so there is a both and aspect of it, not just trying to say like, I know a lot of people are like in the 1990s, 1980s. I don't know when it was exactly, but there's this whole movement called social justice movement of like Christians should do social justice.
Right.
And they should. Mm-hmm. For them, like that whole movement forgot about Jesus.
Right.
Of loving Jesus. What does it mean to be formed by Jesus? Mm-hmm. And so many people now when they hear social justice issues, like, whoa.
You're too liberal for me.
You're going away from loving Jesus. Mm-hmm. Or you're too liberal. You're not.
Too progressive.
Yeah.
When I think of like the way that that little like paragraph underneath acceptance was phrased, there was a part in there of like accepting people for who they are and like keeping it that way and not allowing people to grow and to change. And I was just having a conversation with a coworker yesterday that if we were talking about the Enneagram and how there are people on staff or in the ministry space that don't like the Enneagram because it feels like it can be an identity label, a box that you can put in.
And the weird upbringing that it came from.
We fall in the realm of like, it gives us another tool in our tool belt to best understand how God designed me and for me to recognize when I'm becoming more like Jesus and when I'm falling back into my own fleshly desires. Mm. And one of the things that I've had a conversation with a different coworker that was, I don't like things like that or personality exams because it shows me how like this is who I am and therefore like I don't change. And in this conversation I was having, it was like, wait a second. I work at a church. If I truly believe that people can't change, I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah.
Because our whole philosophy is that Jesus changes us. And that we are called to look and model like him. And if we just sit inside this box of like, I'm a type two, this is who I am, take it or leave it, I don't change, like that kind of philosophy, like we have no room for Jesus.
Yeah, I whenever I hear Enneagram, I always go back to your Enneagram coach, which is a gospel-centered company that want to use the Enneagram for good to see people change, because yes, the spirit changes you, but the spirit can only use what you already know. And so it's like, if you don't know your blind spots, you don't know where your area of growth, where you could most likely need growth, then you're not going to grow in those areas. And that's what the Enneagram does wonderful, is just bring light to it. I will say, going back to like the acceptance aspect of what this article was talking about, I think love is twofold. I think it is accepting people where they are and desiring them, see them move forward.
Yes.
To see them grow in the character of Jesus. Where like acceptance is just like, you can keep being an awful person, but I'm going to accept you. And so it's just
that
like
tolerance.
Yeah. It's just like tolerating that. Well, that's just how they are.
Yeah.
This is just me. Like,
this is who I am. I'm not going to change.
Yeah. And so I think love is just like that motivator that just like wants, desires to see that people just change for the better, to be more like Jesus.
We've talked extensively about this in episodes 41 and 42 about understanding and developing trust in relationships, about having open and loving relationships. So if you want to dive deeper into like that specific topic, those have been some of our two biggest episodes that we've ever released. So episode 41 and 42. I think to go off of what you were talking about, John, about we see people where they're at and we call them higher. And I've been reading this book about it's called The Volunteer Effect, and how do we like raise up volunteers and how do we see them better and how do we give them more responsibility? And we call it out in them. We see the goodness of what they're capable of doing, and then they rise to the occasion. I know that there have been times in the past for me when people have seen different qualities in me. They've seen different attributes in me and character things in me, and I want to raise to the level of that expectation for them because they see it in me, and I might not see it in myself, but somebody else believes in me. And so because of their belief, I want to move forward in like cultivating that vision that they have for my life. And it's not and they came out of it out of love, and it wasn't out of, Carrie, here's where you're doing everything wrong. It's like, no, Carrie, I actually see something bigger and better for your life. And I think there might be a disconnect between how you're living and how you could be living to look more like Jesus.
Yeah. And usually those people are people of full of faith that just desire to see you take that next step where you feel for you, you kind of get into this rut of like, this is how I've always done it. This is what worked, where you're not willing to take that next step to see actually it thrive. And so we're thankful for those people that just like, that do come along and just say like, hey, like this could be the next step for you of just a nice faith filled step of just like taking that step. Another way to just like take this in another direction is that like, I think people understand vaguely what love is. It's it's like people know like, oh yeah, you're supposed to love those who are closest to you. You're supposed to love your spouse. You're supposed to, love what you do, right? Like you find your identity in what we love. It's kind of ironic that we're talking about love the day after, like
last week was Valentine's Day.
This will release the day after Valentine's Day. And it's also ironic that, or maybe God ordained, who knows? Could be a coincidence, could be that there is a hand behind all of this. For us, that's a mystery. Some Christians would fall in the whatever. I won't get too far into that. of that. Carrie is also like developing a talk about finding our identity and who we are with. Like, obviously, it's geared towards high schoolers, middle school and high schoolers. But it's just like, it's funny how just like we sat down, both of us sat down just to prepare this talk. And we're just talking through like these different things that we people usually identify each other themselves with. And just like going and then reminiscing about like when we were in middle school, when we were in high school, like, yeah, we actually did because we thought we needed the acceptance of these people. We thought that we needed to get the satisfaction, the significance from these other people, which is what it all came down to in your talk.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like a follow up for your talk that you're giving.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just like all of these like identifiers that we try to identify ourselves with just don't quite get to the love of God.
Right.
What else did you like, what did you get from like this preparation of this talk? Just like, and what like takeaways? Like I feel like anytime I like prepare a talk for in front of people, I always like, oh, I never thought about it that way, but it makes so much sense. So like for you as going into, well, about to go into like talking about this.
I think when I, so the topic, we're doing a series for youth group all about labels and like, what are the labels that we give ourselves? And they asked me if I would speak on relationships. I love talking about them. So this is great. And talking about how so often we look for security or acceptance with people we're friends with or people that we're dating to find our significance. And that's not what God called us to. That's like, we find true fulfillment in Him. And I think like, as I'm preparing this, I like have it through the lens of like what I wish I would have known when I was in high school and middle school, that my small group leaders love me, that they are here for me. And not saying that mine weren't, but there is a different framework when it comes to relationships than what Hollywood portrays. And I was having a conversation with some of them last week about they might like a situationship is actually a thing, and like versus just talking to somebody, and they do it for quote the plot. And I'm like, what is happening? What are we doing? And so reframing it to be like, actually your security and your identity does like rest in Jesus. And if you've put it into the world or search for love or acceptance in the world, you're going to be let down over and over and over again, because you're putting it on not a firm foundation. You're putting it in something that is fickle and finite and doesn't, that changes all the time. And when you rest your identity in something that you can be secure in, that's a stronghold that doesn't change, that is immovable, that is like infinite, you have peace. And you don't have to worry about whether or not the popular kids in school accept you, whether or not that super great mom group accepts you, or you feel like you have to dress a certain way with all the latest millennial mom things with your wide leg jeans, which I have, and like all those different things. Like, it does not matter, because you are deeply loved and cared for by Jesus. And that should be the outpouring of how you reflect your other relationships that you have, is that you're called to be patient. You're called to be peaceful. You're called to be edifying towards one another instead of tearing people down just to feel like you're getting yourself ahead.
Yeah. Again, like Jesus doesn't just accept you. He does. And that's a wonderful thing of the gospel. He also loved you so much that like, He died on the cross for you,
right?
So that He could have relationship with you. And He continually wants to have a relationship. And a relationship that's one-sided is not a relationship. Like, yes, Jesus's finished work on the cross cannot be added to.
Yes.
But His ongoing work is He expects you to work with Him.
Yeah. Partnering up together.
Yeah. It's always a partnership. And so, like, yes, like acceptance only is part of love, where I think there's a point where we can overlove people.
Yeah.
That we don't see them want like move forward. Mm-hmm. I think that's why like always it's always like Jesus came in truth and grace, or truth and love.
Yeah.
Another way of it's the word there that is used in the translation is usually directly linked to the Hebrew root chesed, which is like that truth and loving, like the loving kindness of God, which is like core to who God is. Mm-hmm. And so like it's always truth and loving kindness, because truth will want to see people not live in their lies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because as humans, we adopt something that is not fully truth, mm-hmm. or blatantly not true. Mm-hmm. And we think that's what defines us. And we think that if I can have blank, then I will be truly human.
Yeah.
And really the only thing that can fill that gap, the only thing that can get close to filling that is Jesus himself, mm-hmm. who like understands our true desires.
So within your relationships, how can you this week call up someone to a place that you know that they're capable of? And how can you be open and loving, like we talked about in episode 41 and 42 in your relationships? And we just pray that as you are navigating maybe harder or more difficult relationships, that you pray for wisdom of how to best discern, how to have conversations, how to be truthful and loving and not just all loving. And we look forward to diving in to, we're only in, there's two more parts of this. So next week, come on back and we are going to be talking about
number 5, which is forgiveness.
Ooh, this is a good one.
I feel like that one should almost be like one of the first ones because that's such a core.
Yes. Maybe they're not in particular order.
No, they're not in particular order at all. But yeah, if it were to be ordered, I think forgiveness should be like number one because
yeah.
To always have a posture of forgiveness is so important, mm-hmm. in broken relationships.
Absolutely.
And to be fair, we're all broken people. Mm-hmm. And so all our relationships are going to be broken.
At some level.
Right.
Yeah.
And so forgiveness is so core.
Yes.
To being with other people.
Absolutely. Well, we'll see you guys next week. And if you're enjoying this content, feel free. Actually, not feel free. We would ask for you to leave us a 5-star rating over on Apple Podcasts and a review. Those are so helpful for us. And you can if you're listening on Spotify, which I know we have quite a few people who are listening over on Spotify, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating. And we'll see you guys next week as we dive into part 5 of Cultivating Connection.
See you.
Bye. Thanks for listening to another episode of Couples Becoming Intentional. As always, if you have a question that you would like us to answer here on the podcast, you can go ahead and send us an email at jcvhouse@gmail.com, or you can send me a DM over on Instagram at Carrie Vaco. We'd love to be able to answer and feature you on here on the podcast. And as always, if there is somebody in your life who would benefit from this episode, feel free to go ahead and send them the link. And if you love this content, we'd love to be able to hear from you. So go ahead and leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts.
Until next time, we love you and we appreciate you.
See you guys.
Bye.